Hi, I'm Paul Smart, and this is The Work Show. It's October, but we're fast approaching November 5th, Election Day. We decided to talk to two people whose life work is in election.
Utasma munu yao algi wanu so hagiga. Demunu yao algi kelimo hagiga. Uwadi belet legidam. Munu yao algi wanu so hagiga. Demunu yao algi kelimo hagiga. Bikale nanarua legidam. Turua tuwadi sata. Behuria, fi demokratia, kudun ko. Umafi mafi wajara, zamanta intikabat. The time for election has come. Intikabat. Yau de zamanta intikabat. The time for election has come.
The time for election has come.
Joan Young of Catskill has been working as an elections inspector for over 20 years in the town of Catskill.
Well, I'm on both sides of this because the responsibility for lining up the poll workers is on the shoulders of the county or the town chair. In our case, town chair and county chair is the same person, Doreen Davis. But a while back, it was decided here in Catskill, because we have 13 districts, and each district needs two Democrats and two Republicans. And it's a lot of work to get that many people. And so I volunteered a number of years ago, before Doreen was even here, that I would do that. I would get the workers. That's not paid. That's mm-hmm. volunteer. But then, of course, I make sure I work. Because then I do get paid for that day.
How much is the pay for a day?
Well, they've increased it quite a bit. I think it's $175 now, but I can't be quoted on that because I'm not really positive.
Yeah, I'll find out for sure on that. And that's uniform across?
No, that's Greene County. That's Greene County. When I first started doing this, Coxsackie people were being paid a lot more than Catskill people were because the towns decided how much, and the towns cut the check. Now, the county runs it totally. Uh-huh. And all of the, because of the new machines, you see, the towns can't afford this. So, with the county taking responsibility for the machines, they took over the whole responsibility. And so, they set the pay. And they're trying to get us even more. It's a brutal day.
Yes.
I mean, it's not terrible.
What time do you start off?
Well, we used to be told 5:30, but it takes more than half an hour to get the new machine up and running because it has to warm up, you know. It's not like before when you had to set them up. The only thing electric really was the light that shone above. But now it's a computer, and so it has to start up and you have to get samples out of it showing that there's been no votes cast on the machine. And you have whatever number of districts is on one machine. Where before, each district had its own machine. Remember the line?
Yeah.
So now they're all in one. Of course, here at the senior center, we have two because of volume. We have six districts feeding into that one location. So we have two machines because, you know, otherwise you really have a problem. It only takes, 30 seconds to feed your paper in, but that can take time, you know, and if it gets rejected, you know, if people didn't mark it right, it gets rejected and they have to do it again. And and sometimes you feed it in a couple of times and it does take it. They're very touchy. They're, you know, mm-hmm. the old machines, they were easy, you know. No touchy about it.
I kind of loved the old machine. But
you know, we all kind of did, except that this gives us results like that, and they're accurate. With the old machine, you had people who had been there from 5:30 in the morning, and now it's 10 o'clock at night, and you're trying to read a carbon, and it's not always very clear. And, you know, numbers can play tricks, and mm-hmm. so lots of times they had wrong information. Not that it mattered, because they go over everything afterwards, and the actual totals are not acceptable until they have redone all of them. So now, of course, they still redo, but it's all in like one tape. So, you know, all we have to do for each district is tear off the tapes. And then they have the results from their district.
Now, decide to become a poll worker? And is it called a poll inspector, or what is it?
I don't know. Election inspector. That's the real title. Yeah, election inspector. Yeah. How do you become one?
Or how did you become one?
I just thought it would be an interesting thing to do. I like people.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that they were looking for people to work. It's a very long day, as I say, 5:30 till 10, 10:30. Now it's not so late because they are no longer giving us the absentee ballots to count.
Uh-huh.
They keep them at the Board of Elections. So that really is a big help because you could have quite a pile of those.
Yeah.
And those are papers that you have to go through for every office and count. And so, again, you're doing this at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Polls close at 9, but you got to get those machines shut down. You got to get everything organized. You got a book you got to fill out to give all the information in. And, you know, you're pretty tired. So now they keep all that at Board of Elections, so that's a good thing. But I just thought it would be, you know, an interesting thing to do. And at that time, my husband was in business. I wasn't working, but I could take a day. He, you know, I was his office person, his parts getter, his telephone, getting messages for jobs, that kind of thing. I was his all-around girl. But for a day, I could work. So that's why I said, well, I could do this.
Have there been others of the inspectors who have been, that you've worked with all those years?
A great many of them have had to retire due to their age and health conditions. You know, you're sitting there, but for that many hours, you know, it's not ditch digging by any means, but it gets pretty tiring. And people who have back problems or, you know, they just decide they can't do it.
But you all get to know each other pretty well working there for a full day?
Well, yeah, and we all get along very well. And there's no problem between the workers as far as politics is concerned. We work together very well.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody tries to pull anything. We don't have that problem in this area. I've never had that as, you know, a consideration. You know, you have four people at the table. You've got two Dems, two Republicans. And incidentally, I put in the Democrats. A bunch of them are not Democrats. They're Republicans.
Uh-huh.
I need a person. I don't care what party they're registered in.
Is it hard finding people? Has it gotten harder?
It's gotten very hard. The Republicans have not been able to have a full complement of workers for the last several years.
And so you bring in people, or?
No, we just work with less people. And it's not easy when you have, like, only two people at the table instead of four.
Uh-huh.
You know, Board of Elections people don't understand that. They think four is more than we need, but it's not. I mean, you got to consider that people. So you have to sign, you have to initial where people sign in to vote. Mm-hmm. And you have to have one Democrat and one Republican. So if you've got only two people at a table, you know, it gets difficult because you're doing all these things. You got to give out the ballot. You got to get them to sign in. Sometimes they have questions about how to fill out the ballot. You have to, you know, give them instruction. As time goes on, that will ease, you know. It wasn't a problem when we had the row of machines. But now it's, you know, and some people don't vote every year. And then we get people who came here from someplace else and their machines are different. So, you know, we have to be there to answer questions. We don't tell them how to vote. You know, we don't answer any questions about the candidates. You know, they don't know by now. We can't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really.
You get those questions?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have friends who'll say to me, and I tell them. You should have called me when I was home. I would have told you. But not here. Oh, that would be a real, oh my God, yeah, that would really be a bad thing to do. So no, you would never.
Did you all do training for the new machines?
Yeah. We had training to begin with. Before the new machines, we still had training. Mm-hmm. Because, you have to know what to do in certain cases. Like, a person comes in and they're not in the book. What do you do? Well, it's real simple. We call the office and they tell us what to do. If a person should have been in the book, say they moved. So last year they voted in Leeds and they're in the Leeds book. Well, the simplest thing for them to do at that point is go to Leeds and vote. Then they can vote on the machine. If they're not in the book, they can't vote on the machine. Unless they get a court order. Mm-hmm. And they have a sitting judge for an hour or so on election day, and a person has to go down there. I haven't had that happen. So.
You have provisional ballots? Or?
Yeah, we have the paper ballots, which they have to fill out questions about their previous voting, where they voted before, and it's just basic. Where they live, kind
how
of.
How often does that happen, or how many of those?
Oh, just about every election, we have some people who think they were registered and weren't. And you know, with the new system now, you can visit, you can register online, you can register at motor vehicle. There's different ways. Doesn't always get to the Board of Elections, and then we have a problem. So then we give them a paper ballot. It's sealed. And we verify, that's usually my job, to verify that they filled it out, and then it goes into an envelope, and that goes directly to Board of Elections. We don't open it.
Is there a police presence? I can't remember. Or
no, we don't need it. For traffic control at the senior center, we expect to have some police there, because it's, you come around the building to park in the back and you can't see around the corners, and people are coming in two directions, and sometimes...
Where were you before the senior center?
Well, my district was 2, and that was the Methodist Church.
Okay.
And then we had locations at the firehouses, and we still have one location on the west side. People vote there for 3 districts.
Okay.
The cement in that area, those houses in that area, plus Cementon, and I forget just where other streets are. But the firehouse down here on Main Street, that was a location, as well as the Methodist Church. And then out in Leeds, they're at the firehouse there. Out in Palinville, they're at 2 different firehouses now. They have been for years. The Kiskatom and the Palinville firehouses both have voting districts. Palinville is just 1 district. Kiskatom has 2 districts there. We have 13 voting districts in Catskill. The rest of the county has 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. I think Coxsackie has 3.
Does that go back to something historically, or does
no? We have been increasing our voting districts because of the influx of people to the community. People who moved into Palinville built houses, moved in. And there's more people in Catskill than there used to be.
And how does it differ election to election?
In volume?
Yeah, in general election versus primary and...
Big difference. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can get very bored at a primary. But we still have to have the same people.
And then what about for between the national and state elections, the odd year and even years?
Take a guess. This last presidential election, people came out of the woodwork. I mean, I was on the phone nonstop to Board of Elections. because I was the designated school board of elections person. We had people who qualified to vote on one of those special ballots because they were displaced because of the storm. And so they could vote only for national. They couldn't vote for local. They could only vote for national, but they wanted to vote national.
Where were they coming in from?
I don't really even know. We wound up sending one person over to Hudson. She thought she had registered here, and she didn't. They had her over there, so she went over there. And then we had some other people, I don't know, from Long Island, I guess. A lot of people that were displaced down there came up this way. Because they had no place to be. And some of them had either family or they had a second residence up here. So they came up here, and they normally wouldn't have been allowed to vote. But they made a special consideration because of the fact that they were put out of their homes.
Has it ever worked out to be lines, or is it usually?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we had a senior group take a trip, and they all arrived at once. We had lines. But normally it starts just about when the polls open, and it ends maybe 15 minutes before the polls
close. Is there
an
ebb period where it slows down? Or?
Yeah, but you never can tell. Usually meal times when you're trying to grab a snack. That's when they can't eat that. But yeah, it can, you know, it can be a bunch at once, but you're never quite sure when.
Do you get a sense of how an election is going, working at the poll, or
no? No, I mean, if you see a bunch of diehard Republicans or a bunch of diehard Democrats, you kind of second guess how they're going to vote, but you don't know. You really don't know. There's no way of telling the old machines or the new one.
And kind of as something that you've done for this many years and dedicated so many hours to, what do you gain from this work? What's your, I mean, do you come out, I mean, tired, but also elated from it? Is there something?
Yeah, I just feel good about it. And I get to see a lot of people that, you know, maybe I don't see normally. And people, you know, people are always happy when they come to a lot. Well, I can't say always, but most of the people are happy when they come. I mean, some of them are muttering under their breath about politicians. But but for the most part, it's like, you know, getting together at the coffee shop kind of idea. People see each other, even besides just voting, they see each other there, over there chatting. We don't rush them through. They chat with us, too, if, you know, if there's somebody we know. You know, how's the kids, you know, that kind of thing.
And is it, do you notice anything in terms of just the trend of, is it more older people voting, younger people, across the board?
All ages. Yeah, all ages. We rejoice when the young ones come, because that's really great. You know, the older ones, most of them have a sense of responsibility to vote, but the younger ones are getting that way also, I think. And I know the young ones in my family all vote.
And what would you, what's the draw for somebody to come and be in the an election inspector alongside you?
I don't know. It's just, well, of course I have to beg sometimes, but, you know, I just tell them that it's, you know, it's something you'll feel good about because you're helping people to cast their vote for good government, however they see it. And we don't judge, you know, not that day, but, No, it's just, you know, there are some people who do it strictly for the money, I imagine. But, back in the day, we got, I think, like $75 for that whole day. You know, so I can't really say too many people do it for the money. But they do it because they do all the other things that people do where they don't get paid at all.
Yeah.
You know, they just, goodness. And like I say, doesn't matter, Republicans, Democrats, non-enrolled people, they all work together and they all seem to have that sense of, you know, we're going to do this the way it's supposed to be done. There won't be any foul play or anything like that. And we've had poll watchers, but they really have nothing to do because nobody tries to outdo anything. They're there because they want to vote, and mostly they've decided ahead, but sometimes we always have the paper ballots out so that they can review them before they go in and actually vote, because they might, you know, might not remember just what they wanted to do. But if it's there in black and white, it helps.
Virginia Martin is one of two election commissioners for the Board of Elections in Columbia County. We talked with her recently in her Hudson offices.
I am a Democratic election commissioner at the Columbia County Board of Elections. And the Board of Elections comprises two election commissioners, myself, the Democrat, and Jason Naske, who is the Republican. Together, we are the Board of Elections. I am only one commissioner. I'm not the board. He's not the board. Together, we are the board. So everything that happens, happens on behalf of both of us working together in agreement, or sometimes according to court order, if we don't agree. But generally speaking, we agree, and we come to terms on issues that we, you know, may not totally agree on initially, but we have to come to terms on them because we are the board and that's how we work. So what we do at the Board of Elections is essentially we administer the elections. So administering elections means that we register all eligible voters, anybody that wants to be registered to vote in the county that is eligible to be registered. We make sure they get registered. We make sure that anybody that wants to run for office, who's eligible to and fulfills all the requirements of getting on the ballot, gets on the ballot. We train inspectors and all the election workers that go out on election day, and there are several election days every year. We always have an election in November. We usually have an election in September, a primary election. Every 4 years we have a presidential primary, maybe, you know, not necessarily, but oftentimes there's a presidential primary every 4 years. Now we have an extra federal election in even numbered years, federal primary election in even numbered years that was instituted last year. So in even-numbered years, there's a possibility that we'll have three elections, two primary elections and a general election.
Do you do the village elections, or is that
a... We have not done the village elections until, starting next year, we are going to do the Chatham Village election. They decided they would like the Board of Elections to run their elections. And I think that's a good move on their part, because we're set up for running elections. We know how to do it very well. We train our inspectors. They're all very professional. We train all our election workers, and that's what we do for a living here. Whereas, you know, the village clerks, who otherwise are the ones that run the elections, well, they run, you know, they do their clerk jobs, and they do a great job of it, but an election is something added that they would have to do. So we are going to be running the Village of Chatham's elections next year.
How did you come to this position, and how did Jason come to the position?
In both cases, our parties had a vacancy in the commissioner office, and they looked for people that they thought would be good. Maybe they advocated for them. Maybe they cajole them to come on board as commissioner. I think that's what happened in both of our cases. I think I certainly speak for myself. I think I speak for Jason Naske also in saying that we recognize that it's a vitally important role, and we're happy to serve in this role because there needs to be somebody who's really paying attention to making sure that the elections run in Columbia County are run fairly and competently and efficiently, and that's what we work very hard at.
And what were you doing before the board and the Board of Elections?
I was teaching up at University at Albany. I was teaching a communications and rhetoric course at the University of Albany. And I had run for assembly in 2006, and before that I was doing graduate work at RPI.
In a number of counties around here, the elections used to be run on a town basis and have been taken over more and more by counties. Is that true in Columbia County as well?
That was a statewide move instituted in 2006, I think it was. The state decreed that the elections would be run by the county boards of election. All elections, would, with the exception of village elections, would be run by the counties. Yeah, so that's across the state.
And had it been, so before 2006, what had been the role of the county board of elections?
I can't speak to that. I wasn't here. I got here in late 2008 after the presidential election, so I've been here. I'm going on 5 years now. But I can't answer that. I don't know.
Oh, how did you have to deal with the training, the shift over from the old lever machines to the current system?
Shifting over from the lever machines to the optical scanners that we have now was an enormous task, and we're still getting used to them all. Our inspectors, inspectors who have been working for us for decades are still kind of getting used to the new system. There was an enormous amount of work that had to be done, enormous amount of training work. The infrastructure for elections just changed monumentally. So that was quite a challenge for us. Computerized elections are a very different animal to elections run on a mechanical machine that doesn't operate via zeros and ones digitally. So it was it's become very, very different for us. Our elections now are paper-based. They're all done on paper ballots, whether they're absentee ballots or the machine ballots, which are voted on election day. They're all paper. So we now deal with an amazing amount of paper, and the documentation that's required is much, much greater than it ever was before, because when your election is based on something that's in hand, a paper ballot, you have to keep that very, very safe and secure. In any election process, we have to make sure that it's done bipartisanly, that a Republican is looking at it and signing off on it, and that a Democrat is looking at it and signing off on it at the same time, essentially. So every single process that we do here at the Board of Elections or out in the field at the poll sites is looked over by two people, bipartisanly, and they both agree that it's done appropriately and fairly. So to keep track of all the paper that we have a lot of chain of custody forms, we have a lot of sign-offs by a Democrat Republican. We never let anything out of the view of a bipartisan team. So that has really changed the way we run elections. It's meant a lot more documentation that we have had to create and operationalize and train all our election workers on. And it's complicated. It's complicated and time-consuming and exhaustive and exhausting. But it's there for a reason. It's there because we want to make sure that voters in Columbia County are 100% confident that their elections were done fairly and accurately. And that's what we do. And they can feel confident about that because they can know that there were always two people from opposing parties that looked at every single process and said, yes, this is okay.
Is it hard finding election inspectors to work? Is that an aging demographic? Are young people coming into it? How does that process work?
It can be difficult to find election inspectors, and we are always thrilled when somebody raises her hand or his hand and says, I'll be an election inspector. We are always looking for more election inspectors. A lot of them have been working for a very long time, and we are so grateful to them. Believe me, we are. But, you know, at some point they might decide it's no longer for them. We always need more election inspectors. We always need alternate inspectors because there are so many times when on election morning or the day before an election we find that somebody got sick or somebody had a crisis or this happened or that happened, and so we need to fill in for them. And we can't put off the election another day because we don't have inspectors to run it. The election gets held no matter what. So it's very, very important to us, to both sides, to have a stable of competent, trained, willing election inspectors who are willing to come out on election day and work oftentimes very long hours. In the November election, the polls are open from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. And inspectors have to be there about an hour before the polls open to get everything going. And then they have to be there after polls close for, about an hour, maybe longer. It takes longer now to close up the polls because of all the documentation that's required and all the bipartisan checking that has to go on to make sure that all the documentation, all the ballots, all the election materials are handled properly and are handed over to bipartisan teams. So it's a very long day if they do the entire day, and most of our election inspectors do the entire day. So that's 5 a.m. to 10 p.m.
And what is the pay on that?
The inspector's role pays from between like $12 and $15, $16 an hour, depending upon their role. And I have to express my gratitude to those men and women that do that, because it's not a lot of pay for the work that they do, but it's a vitally important role, because without them we don't have elections, and without elections we don't have a democracy.
Now, where does the actual counting take place these days? I know it used to be with the machines that there would be some counting at the site, and there would be a fluctuation, and there would be absentees would be counted in at that point. What's the process now?
Well, some time ago, they changed the law so that absentees were no longer counted at the poll site, and instead they were counted at the Board of Elections some days after the election. Okay, so that process came back to the Board of Elections some years ago. And then, with the changeover to the optical scanners, what happened was that we did with the lever machines, we get totals on election night off the machines. The scanner adds up, calculates, tabulates the numbers for each candidate, and we get a report on election night from the machine. Now, we are required by law, and we are required just because we believe that we need to do this also, to audit the machine's result. And the reason is that the computerized counting, is not something that anybody can watch. And you know, the computers, something can go wrong with them. Scanners, something can go wrong with them. Programming, something can go wrong with it. And we're not there to look into the computer and see how it's adding. We're not there to look into the computer and see that it's scanning each ballot accurately. So we have to do an audit. And any organization does an audit of any kind of operation that it has, particularly anything associated with computers. So it's a normal part of doing business to do an audit. The state of New York says that we need to audit 3% of the voting machines that we deploy. Commissioner Nasky and I have looked at that and said 3% is not adequate, because if you ask a statistician about that, they will say 3% is nowhere near adequate to give you high confidence that the computerized totals that were reported to us are accurate. You need to do a lot more than 3%. And there probably is a way to count less than 100% hand count, less than 100% of the paper ballots, and have high confidence And I have been examining how to do that for a couple of years now since we've had these machines and I've been using them. And what I've found to date is that coming up with a formula to count, hand count, less than 100% of the paper balance to get a high confidence level, meaning at least 90% confidence or really 95% confidence level is what we need, to demonstrate that the result that we got from the scanners, the computers, was accurate. It would be a very complicated audit, and it would be a complicated formula for this race, for that race, for this town, for that town, for this state race, for this county race. It would be a number of different calculations. And to my mind, and I think Commissioner Nasky would agree, it's so complicated, it's just easier to count, hand count every ballot. So what we do is, a couple of days after the election, we bring in election inspectors, counters, bipartisanly, and they look at every single paper ballot, and they recount. They recount every race except races that are not contested. We don't ask them to count races where nobody's got an opponent. We don't ask them to spend their time doing that. And it takes a couple of days. But the interesting thing is that the result that we get after the end of that hand count audit, which replaces, in Columbia County, the 3% audit that's done throughout the rest of New York State. The beauty is that people in Columbia County can have very high confidence that the results that we give them are the accurate results of what the voters intended when they voted their ballots.
We hear on a national basis all this talk about a greater voting franchise and, on the other, voter fraud. Mm-hmm. Does any of that come into play here in Columbia County?
I think voter fraud nationwide is what I'm, what I hear is it's practically non-existent. I mean, mm-hmm. it's hyperbolic to say there's great voter fraud. There's very little. I don't know of any voter fraud in Columbia County. I don't. I just don't. We don't see it. Mm-hmm. No, there isn't voter fraud. And our processes are so heavily scrutinized that, you've got a Democrat looking at everything and a Republican looking at everything together. If a Democrat wants to approve some change to a voter registration, the Republican's got to approve it also, and vice versa. And if they have a disagreement, then we come to terms on it. We decide on what to do. And then we're in sync with it. There's no voter fraud going on here. There just isn't. It would be very difficult to. How could you? When you've got everybody at the Board of Elections looking at processes very, very carefully, you can't.
How did local elections, even years compared to odd years, mm-hmm. in terms of presidential versus the state and congressional, mm-hmm. and what we have this year, which is a very localized mm-hmm. election cycle, how do the numbers compare the process?
Well, presidential years have much higher turnout, obviously. Last year we had 73% turnout in Columbia County, which was great. We were very gratified to see that. So that's every 4 years. Every 2 years there's an election for Congress. We reelect our entire Congress every 2 years. That would be and on those years we also elect a governor in New York State. So those elections come in second in terms of turnout. And then on odd years, we have our local elections in which we elect town and city officers, and we typically have our county seats are up on those years also. And those are the years when our turnout is less. Mm-hmm. There are voters out there who don't know that we hold elections every year. Mm-hmm. There are voters out there who might think that this year they have a congressman to vote for. Because a lot of people are simply not that engaged in the process. I think I like what you're doing with your show because you're getting the word out that what we do at the Board of Elections goes on 12 months a year. We hold elections every year. This year, two elections. Last year, we had five elections. We held five elections. That's a record in Columbia County. We had a special election for assembly. We had a presidential primary, a federal primary, a state and local primary, and then the general election, which is mm-hmm. the presidential election. This year we have two. Next year we'll probably have three. I mean, it could be that we wouldn't have two primaries, but we might not. We'll at least have one. So we are busy 12 months a year, making sure that every voter that wants to be registered to vote is, that any voter who has lost his or her eligibility to vote because they've moved gets contacted, and if truly they've moved, then they get taken off the roll so that we maintain voter rolls that are as accurate as possible, because we don't want to keep extra people on the voter rolls when they're no longer eligible. It's mm-hmm. important to us that we keep the voter rolls clean. That's an enormous job. Every year we send out 40,000 little postcards, they're called mail check cards, to our active voter list. And they're non-forwardable postcards. And if the post office determines that the voter is, that the resident is no longer at that residence, they're supposed to return them to us. And then we try to figure out what the problem is. And many of those voters simply have moved and we just need to update our records. And some of them have not. And so we put them in the process of inactivating them. And eventually, if they don't vote in two federal elections or they don't otherwise contact us, we take them off the rolls. It's a long process of taking somebody off the voter rolls. But what I'm getting at is there's an enormous amount of work that goes into running elections, making sure that the right people are registered to vote and able to vote, and making sure that elections are run effectively and efficiently so that everybody who's eligible to vote gets an opportunity to, and making it easy for them to do that.
What do you and Commissioner Netsky do on actual election day? Where will you be? Will you be all over the place? Will you be in here? How does that operate?
On election day, we split our time between being at the Board of Elections, out at poll sites, just looking things over and seeing how things are going, maybe handling controversies or problems. If something goes wrong at a poll site, we'll both show up there and come to some agreement about what to do with it. So we're all over the place. Well, the poll sites open at 5 a.m. for the inspectors. They have to get there and get things set up. The Board of Elections here is open at 5 a.m. or before 5 a.m. too. So we in operations are available from 5 a.m. until all the results are in and we're satisfied that we've got everything, and we put everything up on the website so that the public can look at it and see the results. So on election night, we're oftentimes here till midnight, 1 o'clock. That's after a 5 a.m. start. And we're all over the place during the day.
You have the whole week afterwards of just...
The week? Well, yeah, it goes on for a couple of weeks. Uh-huh. For example, for general elections, absentee ballots from the military can come in for a full 2 weeks. So we don't even have, we don't know that we have all the votes in until 2 weeks have passed after a general election. After a primary election, it's 1 week. So we are continuing the election process for at least 2 weeks. More like 3 weeks, because then we have to process everything and certify it to the state. I learned an awful lot when I walked into this board and saw all the processes that are involved. It's very, very involved. We have to know election law, which is changing, of course, and it's controversial because elections are controversial. There's a high degree of interest in them. You know, you mentioned the specter of voter fraud. You know, there's a high degree of interest in elections. So we are always being scrutinized. Our work is always being scrutinized. If something goes wrong, we are, you know, on the front page, you know, talking about our processes. It's amazing what goes into keeping the voter rolls accurate, into making sure that New York State, for example, and this is the result of the Help America Vote Act, which was the federal act in 2002 that was passed after the debacle in Florida in the presidential election of 2000. The Help America Vote Act requires that states keep statewide registration databases of voters So that became operationalized throughout the counties in New York State, and it's really terrific. So the state maintains a statewide voter database, and it works very, very well. You know, so we don't have voters who are registered to vote in Columbia County and registered to vote in Orange County or any other county. As soon as a duplicate voter is noticed, there's a flag that goes up, and we have to figure out which county does that voter belong to. And the voter only stays in one. The other one gets canceled. So there's a tremendous amount of work that goes on to maintain those voter databases, and that's a very good thing. Getting people on the ballot, getting candidates on the ballot, is a very involved process. A lot of rules there, and a lot of ways that the candidates and parties can get tripped up in trying to get somebody on the ballot. Very complicated. There's an awful lot of work here. And when the new voting machines were brought in, what was also initiated was a focus on people who are not able to vote like everybody else can vote, people who have disabilities of one kind or another. It might be somebody who doesn't have sight. It might be somebody who doesn't have the dexterity, the digital dexterity, to pull a lever on a mechanical voting machine or to fill in a bubble on a paper ballot. People who want to vote, are eligible to vote, but can't vote in exactly the same way that everybody else votes. So, and or maybe would have a difficulty getting into a polling place. So there has been a tremendous and, in my mind, very welcome focus on making voting accessible to everybody that's eligible to vote. So one of the things that we do is we make sure that all of our poll sites are accessible. That's a law. I mean, the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in the 90s. And it's a shame that there are an awful lot of public places that are still not accessible. But with the Help America Vote Act, there became an increased focus on making sure that the facilities where people vote are accessible. So we spend a lot of time making sure that our sites are accessible, and we're always trying to improve that, making sure that, you know, the entryways, the seating, the lighting, the this, the that, work for everybody. So there's a lot of work that goes into that.
And how is it working as a commissioner? Kind of has it changed your view of the whole system? And how does it make you feel inside?
I feel very good about the way we run elections in Columbia County. I think we've really professionalized the board. Commissioner Nasky and I have brought the board to another level. We've really professionalized it. We've improved our instruction of election workers. We have several hundred election workers that we deploy on election day. That's a lot of people to work one day or 2 days or 3 days a year and expect them to know election law, which is voluminous, and know how to deal with voters as they come into the polling place. I am so pleased to be able to play a role in making sure that elections here in Columbia County are fair and that anybody that wants to get onto the ballot and follows the rules and is eligible, gets onto the ballot. It's very important to me that elections be fair, that anybody that wants to be registered to vote is able to vote. That's incredibly important to me. And I think Commissioner Nasky probably feels the same. I'm sure he feels the same way. Elections are fundamental to democracy. Without elections, we don't have democracy. Without fair elections, we don't really have democracy.
Yeah. say, gonna be your best friend. Gonna help you in every way he can. But when he takes a seat, just the other way. Be careful how you vote on every election day. One that you vote for, ooh, I'd let you die. Come on, you and I. Bet you up, man. Talk to me.
This has been the October edition of The Work Show. My name is Paul Smart, your host and producer. Music today was by Emmanuel Kembe, the Sudanese musician, and his great song about voting, Intikhabat. We also heard a little bit from D-Light, Vote Baby Vote, and also from the great Sunnyland Slim, Chicago Bluesman, Be Careful How You Vote. Until next month, keep on working.
Hey, Bob. I'm gonna tell you about this old professor. He's gonna stretch out a little bit. Let me hear you ride, Professor Ride. Ride, 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 ride. Hey, get low and let him do the thing. Come on, man, fast, blah, 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 fast. Cost a living too. Man sick or help the blind. Senior citizen too. But when it gets in office, y'all, you know it's just the other way. Well, he can't do no more. He rich and you poor. I'm gonna tell you what now. Yeah, you know what, Jill? I want you and everybody to kind of think about this. Be careful how you vote. Chilling on every election day. Ooh, be careful how you vote. Yeah. telling you folks a Bob story. Hey. Woo! He just might let you die.